All right. So it was this new series we're starting. I don't know how long it's going to be. I'll tell you something. It'll probably be quadrupled, whatever number I give you. So we're looking at the holiness of God, okay? And the topic that we're starting with is desiring the fire of God, okay? And depending on where you're from, holiness can be, first of all, just a big turnoff based on your background, wherever you're from, right? If you don't really attend a church, or if maybe you attended a really abusive one, holiness is actually something that's crushing. It can be a powerful weight that's used to just sit on people and oppress them, right? And holiness is actually a blessing, and in holiness is freedom. Also, did you know that churches are trying to get away from, across America, I mean, the topic of holiness? Huh? And churches are actually declining, the number of churches in America too, right? Because culture is shifting. And culture is having a hard time determining what's right and what's wrong. And so the church, rather than just like drawing a line in the sand and sticking out, are drifting away from the topic. And they're you know, focusing on other topics like the love of God, which is great, right? You're loved. Until we understand the love of God, we can't understand his holiness. But stopping short of that message because, right, it challenges people. And people don't like to be challenged. Unless they're you. You love to be challenged, right? You love a good rough up, right? All right. I've got so much to go in here, but I just kind of give you some background here. Last week, as I was developing this, the Sunday prior, right? And it was the week prior, it was the week of Thanksgiving. I felt the Lord telling me this. And at the same time, I was downloading all the information that he wants to share. And yet at the same time, not feeling led like I'm supposed to teach it. Which was really weird, like to be developing and yet not even using this. And I'm struggling on the inside. And Thursday comes around and I'm like, God, what are you doing? You know? And so Kevin and April, who they taught last week, they are at my house for Thanksgiving. And I'm just like, you know, do you have a sense that like you would share? And he said, no, I'm actually leaving Friday. Okay. All right. Well, Saturday comes along and he, you know, he's still with us and he said, we're going to stay till church is over. And he said, yeah, I do have a sense like God wants me to share. And I said, great. He said, what topic are you on right now, Daryl? I said, well, we're between series, but I'm really feeling this drive toward the holiness of God. And he just starts laughing and he goes, yes, that's exactly what the Lord put on my heart. And he shared on holiness last week, right? And it was a great little introduction for me. Because, and here I'm going to get to the critical piece of this. I said, Lord, why? Sorry. I said, Lord, why do I not feel led to share this message when it's not complex, right? And he said, because you don't desire the fire of God in your life like you should. And so I instantly understood what he meant, and that is to teach on it and not desire it is to sell you short of the power that it holds. And I might justify stuff, or I might not say it like it's meant to be because I'm too busy with an inner conflict. So we're just going to begin to talk about our heart. Were you raising it? Okay, cool. Thank you. So I want to share about desiring the fire of God in our life, right? It's something that God wants for us because he loves us and he wants us to be holy, right? I mean, Leviticus says, be holy as I am holy, right? And it's not meant to be like our God is on a throne and he's ready to hit us every time we're not in line, right? That's, if you were sold that kind of a message, you were sold way short, way short. So Kevin was reading You know what? I'm gonna even go back 2 weeks prior to that. We were in the book of Isaiah, right? And Isaiah goes to heaven and he has this vision of heaven and he sees God and he sees the angels and he sees, right, heaven. And he says, it's all over, I'm doomed. Right? His reaction to seeing a holy, perfect God was, I'm doomed. I'm a sinful man, right? I have filthy lips. I live among people with filthy lips, yet I've seen the King, right? He was just like freaked out. And we talked about a few weeks ago how sometimes when God's presence is in, like, in our midst, we instantly draw back because we don't feel good enough, right? I wanted to focus on the next verses, though, if you don't mind, where one of the seraphim, that means the burning ones, it's a type of angel, flew to me with a burning coal. He had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs, and he touched my lips with it, and he said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed, and your sins are forgiven. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am. 1 minute, he's saying, I'm doomed. The next minute, he's totally going the opposite. Send me, pick me, right? I want to be used. And what's the difference? What happened in that exchange that a person could go so left to right, right, in one moment? And it was this concept that God just purified him with the fire of God. Okay? And I have to say, like, I have no other reference in Scripture that I can see where an angel touches someone with a coal from the altar and it does anything, right? It was God chose in that moment to do something unconventional he's never done before that I can see, and it didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. Why does a coal from the altar suddenly purify and wipe out? It's what God's doing. God has a personal fire for every one of us to go through and be touched by and to be sometimes wrecked by. And we don't always have to understand it. The fire of God is there to purify us, not to educate us, right? And so when we enter into these moments, these seasons of our life where he just puts us under a process of refinement, don't freak out. Don't question his love, right? Just like dive 100% into what he's doing. And just know this, that his fire and his love are synonymous. So, and he's not abusive. He's gentle and he cares. And what he wants to bring you through on the other side is holiness. He wants to make you more like him. And in his holiness, there is freedom. I'm going to keep saying that over and over because I want you to believe and understand that holiness is not the obligation to do something you could never do on your own. It's the freedom to enter into a level of Christ-likeness that you could never enter into on your own. Yay. All right. So as we're sitting here, if any part of you kind of shook on the inside with that discussion I said about me, you know, when I said I didn't desire the fire of God in my life, right? If there's a part of you, ask yourself why. This is what I'm doing with the Holy Spirit. I'm actually asking him, Holy Spirit, what lie am I believing that I don't desire the fire of holiness to refine me? One of the lies that I can identify with, and I don't mean to make this all about me, but hopefully it helps somebody, that is I fear that he'll put me through something that I'm not equipped or ready to go through. And so what the lie I just believe in that moment is that he's harsh and he's mean and he's going to take me through something that's going to be bad for me. And none of those things line up with the truth. He's not harsh. He's gentle. Jesus said, I'm gentle, right? And I'm lowly of heart, right? He's humble. He's a teacher. He's an instructor. He's a father, right? Good. And if you're in that place, just surrender to the love of God and say, I'll go here with you because I know on the other side I'll learn something, I'll grow, I'll be refined, be more precious, more pure, right? You know, the value of precious metals goes up once that precious metal goes through purification, right? And with purity goes more function, more value, right? Ready for service, The Bible even talks about there are pure vessels and then there are common vessels, and the pure ones get the special functions in the house, right? Just like grandma's china, you don't pull it out every day and eat your breakfast with it, right? It's special and it has a special function and a special value, and right? And those are the things that we're looking to present ourselves as reserved for him and him alone, right? So Psalms 94 verses 12 through 14 says, joyful are those you discipline, Lord. And if you're not careful, you will not grab a hold of the joy of the Lord in discipline, right? And when I say discipline, you probably think punishment, right? No? Oh, good. Just me? When I see discipline, I think punishment. Like, discipline is coming. Here comes the backhand, right? And discipline is training, right? And when you need to break through and grow in your training, let's say it's a physical training, sometimes you just have to add more weight than you're comfortable with. And sometimes you ache, right? Several days you could be aching because you just put yourself through a level of training which equipped you to be stronger on the other side, right? And then we get miserable when the Lord brings us through that. And we're like, stop it, it hurts. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't want it. Yes. Joyful are those you discipline, Lord, those you teach with your instruction. You give them relief from troubled times until a pit is dug to capture the wicked. Don't want to be one of them. Now, I got to stop and just point out that he's asking to bring us through a process that will bring us relief from troubled times. Like, he is preparing his bride to be ready to enter into troubled times and yet have relief. Make sense? Okay. The Lord will not reject his people. So some of us, if we're believing a lie, that he's going to bring us through a refinement process and then we're not going to be good enough, or we're going to fall short, or, right, you can fill in those blanks of your inner contention. You think it ultimately he's going to reject you. Mm-hmm. Yep. The Lord is not rejecting his people by bringing us through something, okay? Now, also, I want to stop and point out, and my head's all over the place, but there's so much to talk about, that sometimes when you're going through a trial or a difficult time, sometimes that's not the discipline of the Lord. Sometimes you just got unlucky. Sometimes you deserved it because you made some poor decisions, and you woke up on the bad side of that poor decision saying, this must be the Lord. How much blame does the Lord get? Right? Wow, got a lot of reaction on that one. Do we have any blamers in here? So I don't want you to just fall into the trap of saying, oh, God must be doing this to me. No, you know, he loved the world, so he sent Jesus, right? Not to condemn the world, right? So I just, please, don't just instantly go to the Lord's doing this to me, right? But he will bring us through discipline. Same root word. Yep. Yep. He will. Yes. For good. Yep. Because he loves us, because we love him. To be holy, let's define it, it's to be set apart for him. Anything that competes or compromises on that point has to go. And we can't justify those things. Pretty simple definition. All right, last week, now let me just say this. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he was afraid. But then once the coal touched his lips, he was saying, send me, I'm here, I'm yours, right? So holiness, when we encounter it, the refinement process was meant to cause us to run toward him and to embrace him harder, to embrace purpose harder, to embrace even him, God himself harder, right? So there's no part of what he wants to do to you that is supposed to tear you down, take away your freedom, take away your joy, take away all the stuff you love. He's trying to bring you into deeper love, right? He wants to make us more like him. Our tendency is to recoil in self-disgust. You ever feel that way? Disgusted with yourself. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes when he approaches us and he, you know, the first thing that happens, we see what we really look like in a mirror and we just become discouraged and self-disgusted, right? And that's not him. Like, he doesn't feel those feelings toward us, right? And so we need to learn to just run into him. Like, can I say it this way? If you never changed, he's still smiling at you. And his face is still toward you with joy and love, right? Just like, how could you ever turn against one of your children just because they're not living the way you want them to, right? At the same time, because he loves you, he won't leave you that way, broken and lost, and right? Okay, so he's not living in disgust. He just wants you to run into him, okay? And he wants to make you pure and set you free. He also wants to make us more fully willing and available and anointed to serve in his kingdom, because he has purpose for us. And some of us, we know we're called to purpose, but we can't get from here to there because there's some things that are in the way, and he wants us to lay those things down. Sometimes within the laying down, the breaking and the parting with the things that we're not supposed to have in our life is where power comes from. An anointing and hunger and compassion. Right? Cool. And surrender. So we went to Revelation 4 with Kevin last week, and he, remember, this is another vision where, in this case, John goes up to heaven. You remember this? Okay. He said, instantly, I was in the Spirit. So I'm in Revelations 4, and I'm just going to start reading at verse 2. I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was brilliant as gemstones. Jasper, carnelian. The glow of the emeralds circled his throne like a rainbow, right? So have you seen like heavenly light? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like when you see it, it actually refracts like rainbow in the light. It's really cool, right? 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them, right? They were all clothed in white, and they had gold crowns on their head, and from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbles of thunder. Can you imagine, like, God is literally, like, sending out lightning, just, like, kind of, like, moving across the sky above him, out over his people as people are worshiping? I mean, it must have been an awesome sight, right? In front of the throne were these seven lampstands with burning flames. They're the seven spirits of God, which also connects in Revelations to the seven churches in Scripture, right? So in Revelations 2 and 3, there's a sevenfold spirit of God that rests upon the sevenfold church. It's a really interesting connection. And in front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass sparkling like crystal. So it's like this glass-looking floor. And as you look through it, it's solid and yet it moves on the inside. And light even like moves inside of it as well. And it's like it's the trippiest and coolest thing. And even at times, like, the colors could change. At one point in Revelations, when the wrath of God is being poured out, the whole floor lights up and becomes like lava inside, right? So, like, I could sit here and waste your time talking about the floor. That's how cool this is, right? Let alone there's lightning and there's angels. We're going to talk about these four living beings with different heads. Like, one's like an ox and one's, right? The light has rainbows in it. Like, I could waste your time talking about the coolness of heaven. So I would find that very distracting, right? Would you? You wouldn't be distracted. I'd be like, everything. I'd be squirrel everywhere I see. I'll be connecting it with scripture. And I'll be like, ah, so that's what they're talking about. Oh, yeah, right? Okay. And then you've got these 24 elders, and they're like, who are these dudes, right? And what'd you do get there? Some of you are like, excuse me, you're in my seat. So then there's these angels, and they were singing, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? And it says each of these living beings had six wings, and they were covered inside and out, their whole bodies, with eyes, right? And what I think is so cool about that, because it's gross otherwise, is that, okay, I just described all this stuff about heaven's going on, right? And I just told you, like, I would be distracted by the coolness of it all, right? It's going on all around them, let alone there's these angels playing instruments you've never seen before, playing sounds you've never heard before, right? There's Jesus himself is there. There's people worshiping, and it must be awesome. And yet these four living beings, I'm just going to aim this way, pretend God's here. Eyeballs everywhere, right? Right? And the only thing they care in that moment, singleness of eye for, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, right? The ADD in me would be all over the place. And of all the attributes that they could grab onto and not change this conversation, it was the holiness of God. It captivates them. Among all the other cool things, right, around, and of among all the cool things of who God is, it was holy, and it captured them. Right? And so the Lord is inviting us in Leviticus 19 when he said, give the following instructions to the entire community. You must be holy because I, the Lord, am holy. He's like inviting you into that thing that separates him and makes him special and sets him apart, the thing that angels are drooling over. He's inviting you into that. Right? Great, how do I get there? Take two of these and call me in the morning, right? It's easy, right? Sorry. One. Word holy in the Greek, hagios. I think I said it more like Brazilian Portuguese than Greek, but we'll call it Portugreek. Hagios. It means sacred, pure, blameless, consecrated, and entirely other. And I believe Kevin was kept saying that, entirely other, like, right? Because there's nothing else in this universe that compares to the holiness of God. It's the thing that distinguishes him from anything else, right? Okay. And he wants to invite you into the sacredness, the purity, the blamelessness, the set apart, and the entirely other. Give this instruction to the entire community. So there's no one special. No one's better deserving and less deserving. I mean, it's an open invitation he's calling us into, right? Well, what if I'm not there? Hold on. Because you can desire the fire of God in your life. And you can ask for it. Right? We all joke and we say, don't pray for patience. That's not what this is. This is God. If this is what you want, I want that. I want your fire in my life. It's the only thing that's going to separate me and make me more like you. It's the only thing that's going to set my heart apart, right? So rather than us saying, well, if you really want to do it, I'll be over here. Whoa. Breaking news. This just in. News. Church asks for holiness. Not one of those things where we want to say, if you want to, I'll be over here. Come and get me. It's we're seeking him. We're hungering for that in our life.
we desire the holiness of the Father. We desire His holiness. Lord, help refine our hearts. Mm-hmm. And be whatever He wants in our lives or not. That's the differentiator between a revival community and not.
Yeah, that's desire the fire and then acquire the fire. Never retire the fire. That's right. You got a flyer? we could go all day. So then these elders, right? These elders on the throne, and they're facing the Lord. Their thrones are, and they're just, at this one moment, they just fall down on the floor, and they take off the symbol of their authority, which came from the Lord, and they lay it down, like they cast it. So, you know, casting is, I guess, more than just dink. They're like throwing the crown, right? And they say to him, verse number 11, I'm just going to skip down to the bottom. You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things and they exist because you created what you pleased. Now, what I love about this, what you created, what you pleased. This is the future for us today, right? Where this is not happening in 2022. This is happening somewhere in the future. Right? And there are people in the story laying down the thing that God gave them, that authority, and worshiping Him and saying, we can worship you today because you created what pleased you. We are in the past from this moment, standing as ones who are being created because God is pleased to do it in us. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the future celebration, you did this in me, comes from the today's, you're doing this in me. Right? Now, these guys get to see them enjoying the benefit of the future, which is, Lord, you reserve it all. You deserve the glory, the honor, all the power, right? All the stuff that my life represents, you deserve it all. Because frankly, we don't feel that worship when we're in the storm. In the refining fire, right?
When that day comes, we could be saying that.
We will be. We will be. You know why they're elders? Because they're leaders. They lead us into expression, right? Just like, why do you have worship leaders? Because they're not the ones worshiping for you. They're leading you to do it, right? And so why do we have these elders leading in this moment in worship? Because they're leading us to the same revelation that it pleased you to do this in us, right? Yeah. Love it. Okay. Good. We got plenty of time. Rhetorical question. I know some of you are still going
to
answer it. If God is a God of limitless love, He's sustaining all things by His power for His glory, which He promises to share with all of us as sons and daughters, both in this life and in the life to come. It's a long question. Why do we recoil from a refining fire and the holiness of God being worked into our life? Rhetorical. And I think the answer, honestly, is different for everyone, right? You know, maybe you encountered this pastor that was beating on the pulpit and telling you the way you should live, and it just turned you off, and you don't ever want any more of that in your life, right? Or maybe it's more like me, and I'm just afraid of what he's going to do. Afraid of him touching certain things, and I don't want him to, yeah. Tell him to get your holy little hands off that, please. Right? I have it just like I like it. And now you want to just rearrange it. You want to mess it up. The B personality of God just conflicts with the A personality in me. And he's decorative and he's creative. And I just like my boxes where I want them, right?
I think subconsciously we know that God sees the dirt on us, you know, but we like to tell
him. Oh, yeah, he sees it. Right, and we can't live that way. For some of us, there's comfort in what we're our mess, right? And we're asking, if the Lord's going to clean up something in us, we're actually asking him to take away our comfort things. Mm-hmm. Well, that's true, yeah. At the root of it all, yes. Yep. Yes, so the question I'm going to reemphasize is we go back to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what lie am I believing about this? And then, you know, that's actually rephrasing it into say, Holy Spirit, what is the truth in this? And how can I get there? How can I embrace that truth and live by it? Right? Yes. Sure.
Sometimes, but that's why it's comfortable, because you know what, it's bad enough the way it is. I don't want to make it worse by fighting against it now.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And sometimes we have these comfort things in our life that has nothing to do with consequence too, right? It's just what we do. It's where I run to get my, right? We all run to something or some things. Okay. I want to put the pause on that. Change of direction for a second and then try to tie it all back in. The topic now is the children of Israel are on a 40-year journey toward the promised land, right? And in this section of our story, Moses, who brought them on the journey, is now dead. Joshua's in charge, and they are literally at the edge of this promised land that they're supposed to cross into, right? And there's a Jordan River as the edge, the boundary, if you will. Once they cross that, there's no going back because they are where the promise is now there, right? Okay. An angel of the Lord comes. He instructs Joshua what to do. I want you to go cross the river with the Ark of the Covenant first. What does the Ark of the Covenant represent? The presence of God, right? And now these people must follow Joshua into freedom, into blessing. But yet, two generations have been comfortable living in the wilderness experience. Two generations, mom and dad brought me here. Maybe they had me here in the wilderness, in the dry places, right? But I've learned how to live in that. It's comfortable. It's predictable. I know where all the watering holes are. I know where to find stuff I need. I know, right? In the wilderness experience, if you've lived there for 80 years, right? And maybe your parents or someone else showed you how to do. I mean, we just get so used to the daily grind. And then God's like, nope, I need you to move out of that into something else. Now, talk about a demotivator. They had their food brought to them every day. Right? The manna, the quails, food literally showed up until they crossed the river and into this promised land. And God's like, now you're equipped to do it yourself. It's like the opposite of socialism going on here, right? It's not only as comfortable, I know my way around, I know what to expect, but now my food and at times the water supply disappears. Like, remember when the people were thirsty, God opened up a rock and like water came out for them. I mean, miracles, right? He supernaturally kept their clothing from wearing out. All the dads said amen, right? It says that not even a piece of leather in their flip-flops, in their sandals, broke. Like the Lord renewed that stuff, right? He protected them with this cloud over them during the day. Like he blocked out the sun, right? Shade for them, right? Everybody always leaves during a holiness message. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah. Right. Well, the ones that were, they died. there was fire by night, like an actual cloud that had fire inside of it that lit up the night sky and warned the bad guys, you better not try anything, right? A visible sign of God's protection was over them 24/7, right? And now they're being asked, leave all that behind, cross the river, follow the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. It's going that way. Step into promise. And all that other stuff you're used to kind of fades away. And now you're going to graduate into doing it not by yourself with him, but it's a different form of blessing that's going to be worked out. Right? And I'm sure that part of the people were excited and part of the people were like, but this is what I'm used to. This is comfortable. Right? So if God, who has limitless love and is sustaining all things for himself by his power, by his glory, promises to share it with us, his sons and daughters, both in this life and in the life to come, why do we recoil from this kind of discipline and refinement? You know, he's bringing us into something greater. And I love what Joshua said. I got to find it now. Here we go. So Joshua 3:2-5. Was it up there the whole time?
No.
Okay, good. So 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you've never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Remember, there was a holiness thing that they could not enjoy that we can now enjoy. We are the Ark of the Covenant. The presence of God now dwells in us. So there's no way you can separate yourself by a half mile. And Joshua said, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Right? The first thing I want to point to is verse number 4. Since you've never traveled this way before, stay close to the presence. Right? And hey, I get the joy of standing in front of you saying, hey, let's all go deeper into holiness in our own lives. And I get to be the guy who says, but I'm not even perfectly living it either. How about you? Right? There's things in life that need to be refined out of all of us. And we've never been this way before, so I can't even tell you how to get there. Follow the presence. When the presence of God moves on from a place, you follow it. That means he might be saying today, I want you to pick yourself up out of this comfortable place, and I want you to head this direction. But I'm used to that. No, follow the presence. But I've never been this way before. Yeah, me neither. I've never been perfectly holy before. Have you? Then I don't even know how to show you. So we have to keep our eyes on something greater than each other and on man, right? We have to follow him. That means we need to intentionally live in intimacy with him, because when the presence moves, you move. Jesus said, I only say and I only do the things that my Father is saying and doing. There was like a principle that he lived out. The Father's not saying that, so I can't say that. Now the Father's saying that, I can say that, right? The Father's not doing that. I can't do that anymore. What's on the other side? Promise. Blessing. Joy. They sunk their roots in something. They had houses and property and family, and they, right? Multi-generations now could spread out from that one decision to follow. Generations were impacted, still impacted. Right? Israel's still there today. It's on the map. Right? Right? Are you with me? Did I just talk past you? Okay. Now, Philippians 1:6 says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. So there's no condemnation to say, well, what if I miss it? Like, he'll be faithful. He'll be faithful. But you've signed up for this process. You don't get to say, I'm going to let him do all of it, right? He wants to do it with us together in communion, in like-hearted approach. Amen? All right, I think I'm running out of runway. Hebrews 12, 6 through 8. You've all been waiting for this one, I know it. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Say, thank you, God. He punishes each one of, he accepts as a child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Now, parents, did you ever have to train your child? And I'm not talking about like just straight up punishment. I'm talking about training them, right? You want to get them to move, you bring the trash to the curb, right? So you have to encourage them, and it's heavy, and they're not faithful, and they drop the ball all the time, right? Right? So there's a certain weight that you have to put upon your child if you want them to grow up and to be able to do this for themselves, right? Yes? And so that's what God is saying. I love you. I'm preparing you. I'm moving you, right? I'm positioning you for greater things. I'm positioning you for adulthood in my spirit, right? I like to be taken care of. I like it when you just buy my groceries and prepare my food and then tell me when it's dinner time. I don't like to wash dishes. I don't like to take out the trash. I don't like to clean my room, right? But all of those things he puts upon us is growing us to adulthood in him. Amen? To where we go from consumers to providers. Right? Because the world doesn't need a bunch of consumers. Plenty of that. They need the light of the world, and that's us. They need us to be what Jesus was on this earth, right? As he was in this life, so are we. And we learn to do these things in greater and greater ways. Philippians 1, 9 through 11 says, this is Paul praying, so it's pretty cool. It's my prayer that your love may abound. What are those three words? More and more. It's a growing, deeper impact kind of thing, right? We don't get it all in the first Jesus download, right? But we don't stop, and we keep growing more and more in him with knowledge and discernment so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, right? It's a preparation for a wedding. Ladies, when you got married, there was a lot of preparation. For about 2 days? Yeah, it's months, right? Months. For some of you, depending on when your engagement was, it could have been beyond a year. There's all kinds of planning, from where are we going on the honeymoon to I need to lose 12 pounds to, right? There's all the stuff, right? You got to pick out the dress and the flowers and the, oh my gosh, it's like, yeah, do we have, yeah, fighting over who gets to come, right? So he's preparing us. He's working that in us. He's working out the details with us. He's engaging in this with us, amen? And when that moment comes, just like on your wedding day, you wanted everything to be perfect. He just wants everything to be perfect, and he's going to do it with you. That's so cool. Last thing, and I'm not going to keep going, but I do want you to see this. Proverbs 11, when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, or it's blessed, it's another word. But by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown, right? And here's what I'm asking us to offer ourselves to him so that he can work this kind of holiness into our life. Because it's not only us who gets to enjoy the freedom and the celebration, it's the city rejoices when you become who he's called you to be. Families are blessed. Neighbors are blessed, right? The whole climate of the city changes when righteous people are there, are present, right? And we're not a bunch of people who are like, Lord, save me, I'm a sinner, and I just want to stay that way. I got my Jesus card, and now I'm not going to hell, right? Like, that's so minuscule compared to what he wants to do in you and through you, right? So I'm trying to tell you, this process is not just for you. There's a whole bunch of people that are going to be blessed because you said yes to his refining process. Do you understand? And that's what we're hungering for. Would you be willing to sort of step right up and thank you, by the way. So I wanted to end with a song. She's just going to play soft in the background while I'm sort of landing to see our plane. The song is Refiner's Fire. It's about 30 years old, I'd say. You'll hear it in the words, the hunger and the desire for God's refining process. But what we want to pray for, do you have a slide that says increase my? Okay. So here's some of the things that are going to come out of our surrender, okay? Increase my relational capacity. My people, my ability to love people well and to connect with people. Increase that, God. Well, he can't do that if you got too much of you in the way, right? Increase my capacity to steward ever-increasing finances for your kingdom impact. Some of us need to be refined because we lose money, we waste money, we don't even understand how to make it. We don't, right? There's a process that he's taking us through if we surrender. Lord, increase my victories in spiritual warfare. People need breakthrough. Some of us run from spiritual warfare because it's freaky, we're scared of it, we don't understand it, and meanwhile, people are being tormented and they need us, right? Increase my supernatural wisdom over complex problems. He's a God of wisdom, and he wants the city to rejoice because he was able to be a creative through you, because your heart was tuned with him, with his voice. And to be inspired with solutions that no one else could figure out, right? Right? So God, I'm just asking that you cause us to long for the refining fire of God in our life. I ask that it become a lifestyle and not just a momentary thing. We don't want to campaign for holiness. We just want to sit in it. And we ask you to cause us to desire that, Father. Not to be afraid, not to believe lies, not to fall into any kind of religious duty. God, we want to burn from the passion of the love of God in our life, turned back to you. Lord, we just accept that when you work holiness into our life, you are treating us like a father treating a child. So, Lord, thank you that you want to father us. Thank you that you are preparing us. Thank you that you are growing us. Thank you that you are bringing us into deeper promise and purpose. Taking us from consumer to provider, God. And Lord, we just ask as these things on the screen are, that you would increase our capacity, Lord, for these things, because the world needs them. Father, you want to do these things through us. Give us greater impact, Father. And give us the joy of surrender. So I'm going to just ask, if you don't mind standing as we honor the Lord here in this time. You don't have to sing. We're not going to put words up on the screen. I'm going to just leave that there, okay? And you can worship and sing if you'd like to. Otherwise, I mean, just pray and see what he's doing in this moment. You know, maybe he wants to lay something on your heart. Maybe he wants you to surrender something. Supernatural things happen when we just sit in his presence and listen. Amen. Amen. Pure gold,
And I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Already, God, purify, purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make us holy. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. I'm ready to do your time, refiner's fire. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, is to be holy, set apart for you. I choose to be holy, holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will.
Just lay it all out for you. I'm not going to take any ownership over the process, over the pieces, but wholeheartedly we surrender, God. We say yes. Lord, if we don't even sense that you're calling us to some higher level of holiness, then Father, I just ask that you'll open our eyes to see and hear that you are calling us, Lord, that you'd cause us to hunger for the fire of God in our life. Lord, let not one person leave complacent. God, we just want to be like Jesus. And so our answer to you is yes. Whatever you have, we say yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If there's anyone here who wants specific prayer, come on up. And otherwise, you are dismissed and you can carry your conversations into the fellowship hall. Thank you, everybody.